Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
I will praise you, Lord, before the demons of hell. I'll praise you for those that are in authority on the earth, and I'll praise you before the heavenly host. Praise God. In other words, everywhere I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, my life is going to be a praise offering because my heart has been surrendered to you. Praise God. I'm going to worship my God. I'm going to live a life of worship to my Lord. Notice he says this, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness, your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Now, you know, we begin to look at this and all of a sudden we find that David is praising God with all of his heart. David is praising the Lord with passion and purpose, isn't he? In other words, he's praising because he's magnified his name. He's glorified his name. He's lifted up and magnified. And I got to look in the word passionate up. And you know what the word passion means here? Having or showing strong feelings. Having or showing strong feelings. You ever heard anybody say, I feel real strong about that? That means they're passionate about that. You know what David is saying? I'm going to praise you, Lord, with my whole heart. You know what he's saying? I'm going to praise you with a passionate heart. I'm going to praise you with strong feelings. I have strong feelings towards this. In other words, I have a conviction for this. I'm committed to this. I believe in this, praise God. This is how I'm going to live. This is what I'm going to do. And then he says, I'm going to worship you and I'm going to praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Now listen to what he says here in verse down here as we finish this. He says, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Now you begin to look at that and you say, wait a minute. How could God magnify his word above his name? Well, he says, you know, throughout the scriptures, the name of Jesus, there's no name greater than the name of the Lord. Amen? It's Jesus' name. Every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess. Jesus is Lord. At the name of Jesus, every demon, everything has to surrender. The name of Jesus, sickness flees. In the name of Jesus, you get saved. So somebody says, there's no name above the name of Jesus. How could David say he magnifies his word above his name? He's saying this, your name is only as good as your word. And the Lord is saying the reason the name of Jesus is so powerful is because I watch over my word to perform it, and my word will never return to me void. It'll always do what it said. And what he's saying, when you begin to respect my word and what I say and the integrity of my word, then the name of Jesus will become that much greater in your life because you understand that the name of Jesus represents everything God ever said. Hallelujah. Come on, church. And God is as good as his word, and God's word is as good as God. Hallelujah. And so God says, the name is so strong and powerful because my word is backing it, and my word can't be changed or altered. Hallelujah. So we begin to worship God and stand on his word. Now I'm serving him and praising him with my whole heart, but I'm serving him and praising him with my faith in his word. Because I know his word is backing everything he said he would do for me. So now I'm committed to his word. But now jump down here to verse 7. David is praising God. He's worshiping God. He's getting a revelation of how great the name is because he's getting a revelation of how great the word is and how good God is. Then he gets down in verse 7. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Look at that. You know, we come to church, and usually before we can get home, we've lost everything we got at church. Amen. Why? Because we walk in the midst of trouble. In the 23rd Psalm, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In other words, we're all going to have to walk through this valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death is around us always, folks. Why? Because the law of sin and death is still in operation on the earth. The devil, who is the author of death, is still on the earth. And so therefore there's death, there's spiritual death and physical death and struggles and problems and troubles all around us. In fact, the word trouble there, it means to have adversity and affliction and distress. So David says, I'm walking in times of affliction and distress and struggle and trouble. It's all around me. Now what's going to happen? Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. What's he saying? You will quicken me and recover me, and you will repair me and restore me. That's what the Hebrew means right there when he says, yet though I'm walking in the midst of this, and the enemy comes in to pull me down, the enemy comes in to steal my joy, the enemy comes in to get me away from God, God, in the midst of all that trouble, as I keep my eyes on you, you will revive me. You will quicken me. You will restore to me. You'll recover me. You'll bring into my life blessing and keep me alive. Hallelujah. Now look what he says. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. In other words, God, as I allow you to keep me alive and keep my praise and keep my attitude right and keep my eyes on you, and as I'm allowing you, every time the enemy tries to steal something out of me, you just revive it. Every time the enemy tries to pull me down, you restore it. Every time the enemy tries to get me to quit, you just go ahead and ignite it again, praise God, and infuse me with your love. And as David continues to praise God, look what's happening. He says, you will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Now listen to this next part. The Lord will perfect or complete that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Notice he said, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. You know what he's saying? He's saying when you find yourself in a time of trouble, you find yourself in a time of distress, you find yourself in a time of affliction, you find yourself in a time when you just want to quit, you want to give up, the thoughts are hitting your mind, it's not worth it, and you don't even have a praise in your life, and in your mouth you just want to fuss. He's saying, Lord, in the midst of that trouble, you're going to stretch forth your hand and revive me and recover me and restore me and quicken me and infuse your life into me. And Lord, instead of yielding to the trouble and the struggle and letting it put my fire out, I'm going to let you perfect that which concerns me in this. In other words, God, you're going to take what the devil meant for bad and turn it for my good, and I'm coming out of this thing a whole lot better than I was when I went into it. Hallelujah. See, that's the attitude of Christianity. That's living Christianity. That's not Sunday morning religion. That's not a trip to the altar to get some fire insurance. And we as the church have to come back to this place and realize that the reason I need to be revived is there's a bad world out here. And the reason I need God to infuse life into me and restore me and quicken me and keep pouring into me is because I've got troubles and struggles and distress, and these things are trying to zap everything out of me. But I didn't get into this thing until the first struggle. I got into this thing to make it all the way to heaven. Amen. And I want to tell you something, folks. If we're going to go to heaven, we might as well enjoy the trip on the way. Amen. We might as well go ahead and have a high old time on the way. Hallelujah. And how am I going to do that? I'm going to do that by letting the Lord revive me. I'm going to do that by letting the Lord restore me and quicken me and renew me and bring His power into my life. Somebody says, well, how am I going to do that? We'll quickly look to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and we'll show you. Let me have, hallelujah, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Don't take it off. Thank you, Lord. Look over here. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we have David here. And David has been out fighting enemies. I mean, he's been doing all this great stuff. And so he comes back to Ziklag, his home. And the Amalekites have showed up while he was gone, burned the city, took his family, took his prosperity, took everything. I mean, he just got devastated. Are you listening to me? This is David. This is God's man. This is God's king. He's already been anointed to be the next king. He's the one that Jesus is going to set on his throne. And he just had his family messed up, his finances messed up. Everything about him, just the enemy just came in like a flood while he was gone. And you know what David did and all these mighty men that are with him? They reacted just like most of us. Pick it up in verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. You know something, folks? When the enemy comes in and tries to pull the rug right off from under you and smack you down, and you find yourself your head where your feet were and your feet's where your head was. And the whole world looks like it's turned upside down. It's okay to have emotions. You understand that? They're not weeping because they're having, oh, Jesus, I need it. They're weeping because they're upset. They're sad. In fact, this next verse goes on and says this, and David's two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail, the Jezreelites, is that how you say it? Anyway, praise God. And the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the souls of the people was grieved. That word grieved means bitter. They weren't just upset now, they're mad. Now, let's give you a little history of this because this is a real good picture of the church. You got to understand something. This is David and his mighty men. They've never lost a battle up to this point. Remember how this group got together? David went down to the cave of Adullam and started the church. His family showed up. All he had was his family as his own congregation. And then people started showing up. Oh, he had the cream of the crop. The discontented, those in distress, those in debt, those who were outcast, those who were struggling, those who were upset with the world. Come on now, sound a little bit like us when we came to God. In debt, in distress, discontent, struggling, problems. And here they show up with David. And from the 22nd chapter all the way to the 30th, they have victory after victory after victory after victory. They turn into God's mighty men. They turn into covenant men of God. Their families are blessed. Their homes are blessed. They're beating everything they come up against. And God is prospering them. God is protecting them. God is taking care of them. And all of a sudden, here comes this problem. And the enemy comes in and he hits them like a snowstorm. And he just falls on them. And just like a flood, here comes the enemy. And now, all of a sudden, the revival is over. Here's some adversity. And you know what the problem is? Every one of them have forgotten what he said in the 100th Psalm, that the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever, and his word is everlasting to every generation.
Today's message is from Daryl Huffman's new series, Revival. You can receive your own copy of this 4-part teaching series on CD for $20 by sending your check or money order to Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. To use your credit card, call 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423, and ask for the series Revival. This series and many other ministry resources are available online at darylhuffman.org.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.